Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
You're listening to The V Show, broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Well, not quite. It's The V Show on a Monday, that much is true. But Pops is out, a little sick. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. And in right now is the coach, Mark Lieberman, and yours truly, Nick Valvano. We got you for the next 2 hours or so, bringing you up to the take at 3 with Andy Sweeney. You heard the looky there. Whole lot to react to. Definitely tune into the guys. I know they're going to have a rather tasty medley of all the callers, both jubilant, angry, cocky, sad, a little despondent. A little bit of everything, coach, this weekend. A little bit of everything from our fabulous post-game shows that you hear only here on ESPN Louisville.
Well, that's at least we're not getting berated with a bunch of calls, so with all that negativity, so that's a positive, right?
Typically, we're a little bit more positive on the V Show, but you know, we get a little spice on the text line 437-9680. Considering I had what I knew was going to be a very polarizing to say the least take about moral victories and whatnot, and that how the rivalry game is very important, but maybe in the bigger picture not so much. Yeah, I knew that was going to be a rough take, and I fully expect to hear myself getting mocked on the take later. Again, 3 p.m. today, ESPN 680, 105.7. A lot of text coming in, but mostly relatively, I would say, Not as full of vitriol as I thought. We're awaiting the Kenny Payne presser here, courtesy of our friends at U of L Health, making the impossible possible. That is the power of you. As soon as I can find that, I will, or that goes live, we will take that. A couple texts to work in here, though, 437-9680. If you want to be part of the show, Louisville doesn't need another Malik. 5 or 6 years is plenty of a sample size. Your thoughts on that one, and then I'll chime in.
When they say they don't need another Malik, that's kind of a broad brush as far as that goes. Finding a quarterback that can run pass option and so on. And look, that kind of fits the style of play, whether it's what's perceived as a better version with the air quotes, so be it. But, you know, I think he had production. He did a lot of good things here.
I mean, he was – unfortunately, someone said this recently. And I do think that it's an unfortunate but accurate comparison. He was what a lot of people feared Lamar Jackson would be.
Mm-hmm.
Supremely athletic.
Good point.
Good arm strength. Dynamic. I mean, someone you could really not prepare for on the ground. But unfortunately, just not – wasn't able to really win you games. Could lose them for you, though, by trying to do too much. Maybe not the most accurate passer, definitely arm strength, but not necessarily accurate.
You know, Nick, that's a blessing and a curse. Everybody's going to be compared to Lamar in every facet.
It was a very tough act to follow.
It sure is.
Like, you know, and I'm not trying to get sacrilegious, but it's like the old joke of being Jesus's brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, you had a generational talent here, the only ever Heisman in a school that is known for good quarterbacks. Having to follow that act certainly was tough. And I do think that he deserves some accolades, but he just, unfortunately for him, to add to his legacy, he never had, I would say, that legendary moment. That he never had that, like Teddy in the Sugar Bowl.
Yep.
He never had the hurdle. He never had the game day blowout of FSU, you know, unfortunately. And that's just the reality of it. But I do think, you know, he's going to leave with some records.
Mm-hmm.
And he should be remembered as a terrific quarterback. But Someone brought up the point, and so did Smush. I think it was, and you piggybacked on this as well, that maybe, you know, the halcyon days of Louisville, with the exception of Lamar, have always been more traditional quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So, and being a quarterback, you, there certainly was a pretty large sample size of that with Teddy and Redmond and Ragone and everything like that. Not saying that they weren't athletic, but yeah, they weren't exactly the dynamic playmaker that Lamar and Malik were.
Well, the game has evolved, right? Last night, you watched Jalen Hurts run for, what was it, 157 yards?
Something like that, yeah.
And being productive. I think Collinsworth even made the comment that there's high school plays being run by pro teams now. So it's evolved. Running and passing and finding that combo quarterback, that's what the game is, and that you see so many teams that are productive. I mentioned this last, maybe a week or so ago, I was on the radio when I talked about Caleb Williams and just not really getting to see him. I watched him play. Man, just all the things he can do from that standpoint, that's what teams are looking for. The guys who can make great decisions, who can pull that that football out. That's, again, that I almost said basketball.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that's three. Over-under 7.5.
And were we at three? Yeah. I think we're at four.
Oh, okay, all right, fair enough.
We'll ask Colin in a bit. But being able to run, being able to make great decisions, being able to pass on the run, and be a deep threat. That's what every staff is looking for, right? That's what you want. There's a game on right now, and I'm watching it. Almost every program you're seeing that was it's an old game, NC State and North Carolina.
No reason
to look over. But that's what programs are looking for, right? That's what you want.
Yeah, and also, as this texter says, you know, dynamic is great, but also we need a consistent and dependable, and that is also fair. Who is also very consistent in terms of his positivity is Kenny Payne, and he's at the podium right now. This presser brought to you by UofL Health, making the impossible possible. That's the power of you, previewing tomorrow's matchup with number 23, Maryland.
Kenny, when you analyze film and you go through it one-on-one with guys, what kind of feedback are you getting from them that kind of encourages you or tells you that they're learning what you're trying to do and learning what they have to do on their own?
Well, first thing, we watch it as a team. We'll watch your film. And I'll go into this thing where I say, okay, let's look at the game through my eyes. Not through your eyes. Let's look at it through my eyes. So you'll see there's 10 or 12 possessions where a guy didn't go to the right spot. So a guy comes off and they collapsed, and he took an extra dribble to get closer to the basket instead of the second they collapsed instinctively making the pass. A guy just runs out of at an offensive player in desperation with no strategy to what we're doing, and we're saying this is a driving team. So you run out in desperation and you see a guy drive right by you. You're not paying attention to the little details that we scout and we watch film to help you be able to handle the situations that you're going to be confronted with. It's not all the time, but when you go through a game like that and you end up and you have 15, 20 mistakes on those little things and you lose a game by one or you lose a game by 20 or 30, they add up. You look at our turnovers. You look at our rebounding. Those are two major areas where if you look at the film, you can see like we're ball watching. But we talk about it. We work on it every day. Don't watch the ball. You got to hit a man first because the film says from the other games that you're going to watch the ball and five guys crash. Four guys crash. Go get an offensive rebound against them. Those type of things.
Kenny, I know you like to talk about defense, but offensively, that hadn't been very good either. I know it's all tied in. You got turnovers, no assists. Shooting percentage is bad. So what's the fix there, do you think?
I think it starts with, you know, not turning the ball over. I think that, you know, getting the ball up the court quicker. So, for example, in the last two games in Hawaii, they semi-pressed to run the clock down, and we played into their hands. You know, easy to say as a critic or a fan, But when you're in a game and you know what the strategy is of why they're pressing so that the shot clock, when it gets across half court, the clock's at 15, 12. Now you can't let the clock get there. We all know as adults that they press us, we got to burn the press so that they stop pressing us. Well, for young people, they want to digest it. They don't have the confidence yet to attack the press. They don't want to make mistakes. And in this game, the more you play this game to not make mistakes, guess what happens? You're going to make mistakes.
And Kenny, when you fire up the film and start scouting Maryland, what's something kind of stands out to you?
Very good offensive team. They got a bunch of guys that can really shoot it from three. But they also are good mid-range shooters, and they get to the lane. They got scores. They're great in transition, and they offensive rebound the ball. They're poised offensively. They run a lot of different defenses at you, man-to-man, zone, matchup zone, 2-2-1 press. Very well coached, very good team. They're undefeated, and again, a top, I don't know where they rank. They got to be in the top 25. 22nd in the country. So, again, we're facing a team that's very, very good, undefeated.
Kenny, you guys are at 25% of your possessions, you turn the ball over. I think 13% of your possessions are non-steal turnovers, so they're just kind of mistakes that you guys are making. What do you see in those turnovers? What can you kind of tell guys about what you're doing and how to fix it?
Well, one is what I'm really trying to do is get them to understand how to play together. When a guy's open, hit him with a pass. In practices, we've been working on 9-10 passes without a dribble. Move the ball. Now let's get into an offensive set. Why would I do that? I want guys comfortable knowing against pressure, I can square up, face you, make a pass, throw it to the outside hand. He can catch the ball, square up. He can find somebody open and make 10 passes. Now let's get into a set so that we become a better passing team. That's one part of it. The other part of it is patience, poise, spacing. Don't get out of control. Don't play too fast in the post where you're driving into traps. So we know in Hawaii, teams trapped us from the baseline side. Well, why would we ever spin baseline? We know they're trapping that way. Makes no sense. So having the patience to play that way, and this is new for these guys, and we're learning as we go. So those two areas for me, spacing, limit the turnovers, that could help us tremendously, just that right there. And a lot of the turnovers, I hate to say it, it's not on the defense. It's us. It's self-inflicted.
Kenny, I know it's early in the season, but as a first-year head coach, are there things that you see that you can improve upon in the game, making adjustments and such? And if so, what do you think those are?
My first thing that I would, when I look back at myself and I go through a game, how can I help them digest the game better? Not, this is a player's game. I'm giving them strategies and game plans and how to win a game. They have to be able to see the game and feel the game and play it with patience. I don't want L. Ellis having 3 assists and 8 turnovers. I want him to see the game differently. I don't want him rushed and panic and feel like he has to do it by himself. What can I do better to help him? What can I do better to get Hershey to know? Just be solid. Don't put yourself in bad situations. Or Jalen, I mean, I don't want you to be a guy that has 15, 16 turnovers and 2 or 3 assists. I don't want that for you. What can I do to help you stay out of those situations? That's what coaching is, having them know that I'm trying to protect you from being mentally in that state of mind where you're rushed, where you're panicking, where you're just out of control. Play with poise. Play under control. Is that a different offense? Is there something I need to do better, taking you off the ball? Whatever it is, I'm willing to do. Thanks, guys.
There you have it. head coach Kenny Payne meeting the media ahead of tomorrow's matchup with number 22, Maryland at home. Coverage will begin 5:30, by the way, on 93.9 The Bill, with tip-off scheduled for round 7. You can hear that on 93.9 The Bill and the ESPN Louisville app. All right, to the coach, Mark Lieberman, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V. A lot of things to digest there, many of which Coach Lieberman has been pontificating about. That's about that for a fancy word. Pontificating about for quite some time since he's been on our airwaves. Basically was Pop's fill-in all last week, and always enjoy having him. Let's take a bottom of the hour break. We'll react to that. Your text as well, 437-9680, if you want to be part of the show. Coach Mark Lieberman, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V. We'll react to that Kenny Payne sound and your text as well. Just staying on schedule, hitting our bottom of the hour break. It's the V Show, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
B-Show rolling on a Monday here on ESPN 680, 105.7. The coach, Mark Lieberman, Nick Valvano in for Bobby B. Today, a little blues traveler bringing us back. Gotta love that, man. Big fan. 90s underrated music decade, in my humble opinion.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, what's the name? God, Goo Goo Dolls.
Yes.
Third Eye Blind. Yeah,
I went to see them in concert, Third Eye Blind.
Really?
Years ago.
Yeah. I saw them actually 4th Street. They did like a derby concert there, mm-hmm. and they played, and then the next night, like, Fall Out Boy was there. Underrated concert. Like, you know, like whenever you go to, like, someone asks you the question, like, best band you ever saw live or best concert you ever saw. I don't know why they're talking like that in this hypothetical scenario, but you know what I mean. Whenever someone asks you that question, they never come to mind. But then when I actually do a deeper dive, I'm like, you know what? Both those concerts were pretty awesome.
Right.
Considering it was not a non-traditional venue as well. So, yeah, no, big fan of 90s music. Big fan of the Goo Goo Dolls. Or no, Third Eye Blind. Damn it. See, I get them all mixed up.
Well, both of them. Both of them are good. They're both, they have a bunch of hits, and definitely they're on my playlist for sure.
What is that sound called? Like 90s alternative? Like that 90s rock, you know, they had a lot of harmonicas, and it wasn't too heavy. It was like post-grunge, but...
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that. I'll check out the XM station and see what that is, and then see what they call it, and I'll shoot you a text, and we'll figure it out.
It was sort of like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a melting pot, I guess, with music. Like, you know, a little grungy, a little rock,
folky. It's not soft rock, and it's definitely rock, but there's got to be a term for it.
Yeah, like it's like poppy, but not, anyway, you know. But yeah, it does kind of like all melt together. Speaking of melting, thanks to Melt 502, that team for bringing by lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios, right? See what I did there? That was Blank and Baker-esque.
Saw what you did.
Trying to melt that together. Come try the new hot brown egg roll, tons of other awesome gourmet sandwiches at Melt 502, located in the heart of Fern Creek, right behind Moby Dick at 6318 Bardstown Road. Mention the ESPN Louisville special, 10% off your next order online at melt502.com. The classic, I had that during the commercial break. Just good old fashioned grilled cheeseburger, baby. Solid. I mean,
go wrong with that.
No, and then I'm eating a Roscoe roll right now, which I believe is like kind of like a sweet roll, but it has like chicken waffles in it. So,
well, I'll listen to your recommendation after the show for what sandwich I should partake in.
The thing is, I got to be careful because like after a sandwich and a roll, the itis hits, and then I need to go take a nap. So
yeah, if I see you nodding off in there, I'll come and knock on the
glass.
Yeah,
just a gentle shake. Be like, Nick, we still have some radio to do. Ah, what? Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, but no, good stuff there. All right, we just heard from Kenny Payne. Your text, welcome, 437-9680. Coach, one thing this texture brings up, that it was a point that Pops made. By the way, you were at practice. So,
correct.
Yeah, you have a little bit of a special perspective.
And if I may, before we get to the text, just to echo your dad's thoughts or comments, they were Coach Payne, who I knew a little bit. He was extremely gracious. The whole staff was great talking to him. And you could see the vision that they're trying to implement with their players. But again, to go back to what your father said, really, really good guys, very welcoming and so on, having you know, being a former coach at the place. But regardless of that, just it was great to spend some time with him. I was able to sit with Coach Payne for a little bit and talk basketball as well.
Very, very easy to root for. That's what I've heard.
No question.
And not saying that the other coaching staffs in the past weren't easy to root for, but these guys are very inviting,
right?
As opposed to sometimes how it was in the past. This texter, though, says that KP coaches the team as if they know what they're doing. They've shown they don't understand basic principles. He has to dumb it down to simplify things. That was something that Pops kind of brought up, and I guess it kind of makes sense. And it's still a small sample size. It's still early. They got to work together kind of late. But Nolan Smith, national champion. Kenny Payne, national champion. Danny Manning, I believe national champion,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. All three of them, national champions. No offense to Josh Jamison. I'm not really sure of his accolades, but certainly a knowledgeable coach. But they have these guys that were all star players. And you have a roster that I'm not saying doesn't have talent, but I don't think it has the talent level of a Danny Manning, a Kenny Payne, and a Nolan Smith. So these guys, from what I've heard, from what Marcus and Steve mentioned about practice, there was one concept that I think on offense that Nolan Smith was talking to the guys and was like, all right, you guys got it? And they kind of gave him that half glazed over nodding look. And he's like, you guys don't. Okay, all right, come over here. But it's one of those things. Now, you know, of course, I mean, that would happen with any coaching staff. But it kind of goes to this idea that are they having a hard time kind of picking up what these guys are laying down, because these guys are all elite players. And so they certainly see the game differently than some of these guys that are very good, but not necessarily elite. Is there ever like a little bit of a communication barrier there because of that?
I don't think so. I think that doesn't come into play. Coach Payne talked about seeing the game through a coach's eyes, and we've mentioned this on the show, being able to translate, and that's from any coach, whether you won national championships or you were the rec league champion. If you know the game, you know the game, and being able to translate it to your players, that's difficult. And it's frustrating because you want them to understand how to play. You always want better players, not better plays. And even in practice, they're working on making these guys better players from that standpoint. I will tell you this, and it goes back to and I truly believe this, and I see it throughout the country, that this game is overcoached and undertaught. A lot of coaches want to put in plays at every level, especially in travel basketball and high school. They want to put in plays. They want you to – we're in this defense and so on. But the whys, teaching them why you're doing something. Coach Payne mentioned about the extra dribble. And as a coach, you can make the same decision 2 seconds earlier, and if you take that extra dribble, that 2 seconds is gone, and now the defender closes out. He right. talked about ball watching, and that by standing and watching the basketball, which happens incessantly at the other levels, if you take it down to prep, if you take it to AAU, if you take it to high school, and it's not a knock on, there's some great coaches out there. But if you're ball watching, the defenders aren't occupied. It allows them to give early help, and then you don't have gaps to drive. You're not able to get paint touches because players are staring at the ball. And the only time you should be staring at the basketball is on a drive if you're ready to catch and shoot. If you're not, you either need to be a cutter, a screener, or constantly moving. And that's not happening with this team. I don't think it's the fact that they were such successful players, because again, that doesn't matter. It just goes back to translating what you know. And Kenny Payne has proven, from Kentucky to the Knicks and so on, he's well thought of, but being able to see it through their you know, the coach's eyes and transfer it to the floor, that's not happening. And that's not completely on the coaches, and that's the players understanding. There's got to be that compromise, that way of both groups understanding how they can be successful.
Wow, major veto there, because I've got multiple thoughts. He's the coach, Mark Lieberman, Nick Falvano here on the V Show. First and foremost, to kind of piggyback off that, that confidence, and also being able to understand what I feel like they kind of go hand in hand, because you might understand what the coach is telling you, but to have the confidence to execute it. There's an adage on the V Show: the only way to get confidence is successful execution under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's, you know, pretty universal. There was a point in the press conference today where he talked about burning the press and being able to get through it, and how it might, it's not necessarily a conditioning aspect, but it's more between the years. It's the confidence to be able to go and not hesitate and be able to do that. Is there a certain area of the game that you think that lack of confidence, that taking that extra second to execute that, like, is there something that, right, like, for the layman, that we can look at and be like, oh, okay, they're doing that again. They're hesitating. They're taking, right, like you mentioned, the extra dribble. But is there a certain thing that you would like to see them execute automatically in this Maryland game that you would say that that's a step in the right direction?
Well, taking it back to the press first, it is frustrating because Cincinnati is not trapping you to turn you over. And Coach mentioned this in the press conference. It's to get you over half court with 20 seconds to go on the shot clock, 21 seconds, something we did at Southeastern Louisiana last year. And that's what Cincinnati is trying to do. They're trying to slow you down. They're not looking for steals off of it. They're looking to get you not into the flow of your offense. So that's what you saw in the first half. You saw a couple shot clock violations. And it's very hard to press at the high major level with we call it off or on, with an on press where you're really picking up, because guards are so good.
Right,
if you tried to press a Gonzaga or a Baylor, they're going to carve you up. So you've got to be very prudent and judicious about when you're going to press, maybe off a free throw, maybe off a substitution if the starting point guard is out and so on. And that's where that comes into play. What that carries over to Maryland, because look, right now Louisville has played 358 possessions of man, 16 possessions of zone, and 40 times they've pressed. And as far as statistically, the man has been in the bottom tier for them. They're almost the bottom percentile. The zone and press has been good. It's a small sample size, but that's maybe something they can do to generate some stuff offensively. But I'll take you back to Maryland. They've got some really good guards.
Right.
So you've got to pick your spots, maybe off a free throw, maybe certain times, because that's something that can help and maybe give you a spark where you can get back into other things. But Maryland's a pretty good team, and they've got some good guards, and they're shooting at a 50% clip.
Right.
So you don't want to give them easy baskets.
He's the coach, Mark Lieberman, in for Bobby V on the V Show today. I'm Nick Valvano. Mark's story of the Lexington Herald Leader joins at 2 o'clock. Hopefully we'll have a Jack Grossman sighting in the 2 p.m. hour as well.
I hope so.
I always enjoy meeting with Jack. You just heard Kenny Payne's press conference. That's what we are reacting to. Reminder, tomorrow coverage will begin at 5:30 of the Cards hosting number 22 Maryland. That's over on 93.9. The Ville tip-off scheduled for 7 p.m. UPS Jobs text line 437-9680. The offense looks like one guy dribbling and four guys watching or just passing the ball around the perimeter with no real movement. That's been a theme throughout the year. We've talked about it here, passing with purpose. Was there anything or any player that really stood out to you in that Cincinnati game that you thought maybe took that first half was pretty good. I mean, we talked about that, seeing improvements there, but was there an individual that really stood out to you?
Not sure if there's an individual, but talking to the listeners here, they're aware and they're working on it, and they understand, and Coach addressed it in the press conference from the ball watching. And it's almost like the first plays are almost scripted because they run some good stuff, and then it breaks down into ball screens or middle ball screens off of no movement. But that's because they've been down, or we talked about Cincinnati pressing and so on. I think Withers' activity has been good. I think Kamari Lands, like, he's showing some signs. There are some guys that, and they're young. And Mike James, look, the coaching staff is really high on him. I like the fact that he was the first one out and getting shots up and so on. So I think those guys are just trying to understand what the coaching staff wants. I don't think it's collectively, it's not looking like fans want to see, and certainly right, not what the coaches want to see. But there are moments, and you'd like to see them all be connected and understand, hey, what's happening? Are we lifting on the ball screen? Is he rolling hard? Is he picking and popping? Those are things that they're not connected with yet, but it is November, and those are things that you might see signs of come December or January, because that's when you want your team playing the best basketball.
He is the coach, Mark Lieberman, on the V Show here, ESPN 680, 105.7. Something that you mentioned there, those sets at the beginning, it does seem like, and it's a small sample size, but I remember like Bellarmine, they ran that like through play. Dad was Pops was describing it on the air, and they executed it. And then Wright State, they started off by like the first I think three possessions. Did they score in all three of them? I felt like they were at least they were clicking early. People get critical of a lot of things with this team because unfortunately there's a lot of things to be critical of. But in-game adjustments, are they still handicapped a little bit by personnel and the fact that they're really limited? It always comes back to the backcourt. I feel like a broken record with doing that. But is that something that really is still kind of hindering their ability to make second-half adjustments, the fact that they're playing with limited personnel?
I wish people could understand, and I mean this, that it's not that they're not coaching their butts off and doing the right things, but you're so helpless as the game goes on. It's not like a practice and where Coach Payne can step in and teach and show different things. Come game time, you lose control. The players need to execute that. And so whether all of a sudden the team makes an 8-0 run, and now, not from a selfish standpoint, but the player thinks, okay, I got to get us back. I'm going to make a 9-point play. And it's not there. Having poise and being understand offensively how to settle down, continue the screen, continue the move. Those are things you want that we're not seeing, and they're not a great screening team right now. But you know, even what you talked about with that through action with the cutters and baseline runners and so on, that's great. The ball gets flipped, and then you get a side ball screen, and then there's action on the other side to a post up, which is what they want. But you can get away from that, and that's you're talking about college kids and who are trying to establish an identity, and they're not understanding all those things that happen during a game. Stay poised, stay in control, and that's what you want. But again, as a coach, you're helpless because you don't want to call a play every time down the floor. You want those guys. He talked about confidence. You want those guys to not to look over to the bench every single time they have the ball offensively. You want them to understand conceptually what's happening, and it hasn't clicked yet. Can it? Absolutely.
Coach Mark Lieberman here on the V Show. This is something that I feel like you always give great insight. But this is something that I feel like people, because everyone's an armchair quarterback, and they're like, "Well, I would tell them this. I'd threaten to bench them this. Everything like that." But you talk about playing with poise, and that comes from confidence. And Kenny Payne has been, I feel like, a little hesitant to pull these guys because he wants to give them a little bit of confidence. They have to figure it out on their own, because if you keep shuffling the deck, they're never going to have that chance.
Correct.
And that's been something people are critical about, him having a little bit, giving these guys a little bit, in their mind, too long a leash. But I guess with this game coming up, it's a simple question, but people always eat it up. Who's coach starting? You. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts. You got the helm. Everyone has the Rona, and they called and they said that Coach Lieberman has to be the fill-in coach today. Who's he got as a starting five?
I think you'd go back to what you started against Cincinnati and look at that first half. And we talked about the end of the half with DeJulius hitting that three. And again, that's
right.
Something they've talked about. Sure, you have a foul to give. Moving forward, that's something that maybe was related to the players but just didn't happen on the court, because it goes back. You are helpless as the game's going on, but you are in control of certain things, and you want them to understand at a timeout. So it's right there. And all of a sudden, the game gets away from you. I don't think there's a magic formula from we're looking at the roster. I have the roster in front of me and saying, okay, well, put this guy in. It's going to change things. I think what they have is what they're going to go with, and I think that group needs to be locked in and understand. And I saw them in the practice. They'll be prepared. They just got to go out there and understand what Maryland's trying to do and understand how to attack them. That's something that's kind of lost in scouting in whatnot, is everybody wants to know what plays they're running and how we're going to guard this. But how are you going to attack them offensively too? Does Maryland double the ball screen? How do they play the post, behind the post? Are they overhelping? Those are things you have to look for, and I know the staff is dissecting that to see how they can attack Maryland to get some easy baskets.
I got crushed earlier in the show for doing the moral victory thing with football, and that's fair. Two fringe top 25 teams, fourth year. Okay.
I was protecting you, though. I
appreciate that. You were just
I got you.
You were just like a shield, just taking all the slings and arrows. I appreciate that. That's fair to be critical of the moral victory thing, but it is what it is this year. This is a team that hasn't won a game yet. They're hosting a top 25 team, a team that has some offensive firepower. Certainly, we've talked about it throughout the year. The act of this team is not going to be, they're not going to be in some crazy shootout. They don't have the offensive firepower to do that. They have to win rock fight games. That said, still a tall order. I'm not sure what the line is on this game. I should look it up. But we talked about moral victories, and I know you're playing to win the game, sure, but we also talked about where do you get a foothold, something to build upon later on in the season. We talked about winning segments. Is there something that if you're trying to motivate the guys and say, okay, hey, we're going to try to win the game, we're going to execute this way, we're not going to get into a shootout with them, we're going to play with poise, but what is there a certain matchup, a certain thing that you're telling them, that's your goal, that's your mission tonight, we need X number of deflections, we need X number of first on the floor rebounds. What is the thing that you would tell them that this is something we must win tonight so we can build upon it in the future?
Rebounding. Rebounding is paramount. Rebounding affects everything. And from the offensive standpoint, no turnovers and really limit it. So you want to be, you want to have, whether it's a number, and that's got to be stressed. But from a defensive standpoint, rebounding is key. And no rebounds, no rings is a common phrase you hear out throughout. I use personally with our players, I don't call it boxing out. I call it car crashing because we want it that violent, and we want you to hit and make sure that they know they're not going to the boards. Because Maryland's a very good offensive rebounding team. They're shooting 30% from the three-point line, which isn't great collectively, but they're shooting 50% from the field. And the reason is they're getting 13 offensive rebounds a game.
Say, how many second chances?
Right, so they're getting second chance points. And that's something you got to say, okay, not tonight. They are not getting second chance points. That's what we're focusing on. Whether it's drawn in big block letters in the locker room, and whether you're stressing, we are just taking care of the basketball. The basketball is gold. We're not. Coach mentioned it. Careless turnovers. Whether it's just and they emphasize that catching the ball violently, peeking in the post, doing all those things that you're going to have it. If you're going to have a turnover, you'd rather have it be where it's not live ball. You can almost throw it out of bounds rather than having something live ball, which turns into a dunk fest. And we talked about,
we've seen that movie.
Right. And it was, what was it, 17 out of the, or they had 29 dunks or layups, I think it was.
Something like that.
So in the second game versus Texas Tech. So you don't want stuff like that. So you want to take care of the basketball and limit them to one shot. And you talked about, Nick, it's probably going to be, as much as Coach Payne would love to play with a faster pace and tempo and so on, maybe the identity of this team is going to be at a slower pace.
Right.
And you are going to be in a rock fight, as you like to say, and that might be something that can help them eke out a win on tomorrow night.
Well, we'll see. And, of course, coverage starts 5:30 over on 93.9. The Ville. You mentioned it, no rebounds, no rings. And, well, there's no gift that's more beautiful or versatile or more meaningful than a beautiful piece of jewelry gifted from the heart. Seriously, that was the Dwayne Wade, you know, you do the airplane wings and I just slammed it home. That was awesome. Thank you so much. There's no better gift to find that meaningful gift that's very sparkly than Genesis Diamonds. A Genesis making memorable moments is their thing. This holiday season, Genesis has put together their most impressive selection of can't-miss gifts. Rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, bands, from $100 to $250,000. Good golly. And listen to this. Now through December 12th, Genesis is offering 5-year zero interest financing on any holiday purchase with absolutely nothing down. So that beautiful eternity band is just $50 a month. Or that 2-carat pair of diamond stud earrings, just $100 a month. Everything's included in this amazing offer. Even Genesis's huge selection of hand-picked GIA certified diamonds and luxury pre-owned Rolex watches. Breitling, Omega watches too. Your money goes farther at Genesis, especially this Christmas. So make it a Christmas to remember with something special, something timeless, something meaningful from Genesis Diamonds. Get 5 years zero interest financing with zero down now through December 12th. Genesis Diamonds, your destination for that home run headliner gift for this holiday season on approved credit. So yeah, go holler at our friends Wendy and the gang. Genesis Diamonds right next to Trader Joe's. All right, let's take a top of the hour break. It's Coach Mark Lieberman, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today on the V Show, ESPN 680, 105.7. On the other side, we'll talk a little bit about all things blue with the Lexington Herald leaders, Mark C. story. And then oh man, what was his name? It wasn't Cornelius. What was his middle name? We learned it last week. Kurt. Dang it. I cannot remember what it was,
asking a lot for me to remember that.
I said it was that he just needs to be Cornelius, but it was not Cornelius. So Mark C. Story, we'll find out what his middle name is again on the other side and talk a little UK football and basketball. V-Show, Monday, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.